Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another Norm at Night. Again, due to the continuing search for increased revenue, we are on in the half-hour version tonight. And tonight we're going to talk about, school. Today, again, the first September in 30 years that I'm not in school. Not under the old paradigm, a new paradigm, an experimental paradigm, any paradigm. And right now, the entire thrust of the whole country is how do we find jobs? How do we make jobs? Well, we're never going to make jobs as long as we have school like we have it. So, a question tonight, and if you have ideas, you know the number, 347-945-6713. That's the call-in number. And if you have some idea how to change school so that school makes jobs, or at least prepares people so that they can find a job, or at least is interesting enough so that people stay in it, that at least in some way resembles what we're going to find in the outside world, or somehow combines itself with the outside world, you know where to call. 347-945-6713. The chat room's open. Let me see if we got anybody in there. It doesn't appear that there's anybody in there. Should we replace school with something? Or should we just keep it the way it is? The Constantine version of what we should have is really pretty simple. school learning is about communication. So this place we call school, first of all, should be non-mandatory. If you don't want to go to school, you shouldn't have to. Period. Non-mandatory learning and education. And definitely non-mandatory school under the old... Sorry, I had a little sip of the Coca-Cola that I got sitting here. I guess I just gave Coke a plug, didn't I? It doesn't really matter. Coke's one of my bad habits. I haven't changed it. School's one of my bad habits. So I guess I've been cured of that, haven't I? Yeah. So what should be our new habit? Number one, non-mandatory. Number two, if you do come, you got to bring your own digital communication stuff. You not only are encouraged to bring your own stuff, you really have to, because it's part of what we do. Cell phones, mandatory use. We'll use them in all ways, shapes, or forms. Everything we do will be in the cloud. Or whatever will pass from the cloud by the time this is gone. I'm sorry, that Coke is just so good. I gotta find some money. Hey, I got a caller coming in. Hey, go ahead. You're on Norm at Night. Are you with me?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Ah, pretty good. Oh, what's your topic tonight?
We're replacing school.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just talking about how, first of all, my new place is going to be non-mandatory. Mm-hmm. You don't want to come, you don't have to. Very libertarian of me.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is you got to bring your own digital device. You got to have, and the place will have be completely broadband accessible.
Okay.
Bring your digital devices and plug them in. Plug them in anything you want, unfiltered, unrestricted. All the teachers, don't bother coming if you don't have your own digital devices. We don't want you there. If you don't want to use digital devices in your classrooms, well, whatever the rooms become, go find another place to be, because we don't want you.
Okay.
Simple.
Yeah.
You know, get in a time machine, go be in the 19th and 20th centuries. That's fine with us.
Okay. I'll
Wait,
give you
I'm
a...
not done. I'm not done.
Oh, okay.
And the whole place will be in the cloud and paperless. Copy machines are forbidden. Lessons, you know, if you use last year's lessons for this year's class, you're fired. It's not just you're fired, because there would be no hierarchy. You just have no place in what we do. Every group of people is a different group of people. They'll have different things they want to learn. and that's what you respond to. We'll no longer be teacher-centered. We'll be learner-centered. Okay. That's my place.
Okay. Here's my hypothetical situation. First one.
Okay.
My name is Johnny.
Hey, Johnny, how are you?
Hi. I'm here to learn about American history.
Okay.
And my primary resource is Glenn Beck's website.
Okay.
Now, I consider him the authority.
Well, Johnny, that's the thing.
American history.
We don't have authorities here.
Okay, well, he's my primary, you know. Oh, I might use, some other far right things for that. But here's the thing: when your students drift off, you know, to fringes, and let's say they become focused there. Now, do you have any responsibility to show them anything else? You know, the alternatives.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, because there's no authority.
No.
Right. So.
And as soon as someone gets into that world, people like Glenn Beck just disappear.
No, I don't think so.
They don't stand
they
up.
They don't disappear unless alternatives are presented. And when they get to evaluate the two, they pick hopefully the right one.
Well, no. It's like this.
Or let's say not the right one, but the best one.
When all realities are treated equally, common reality grows out of it.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and there's no Glenn Beck's don't arise, in my view.
Yeah.
Outside of the present paradigm. The reason we have Glenn Beck is because people they don't have any confidence in themselves.
I don't think that's quite the issue. I mean, you know, he attracts a wide group of people are generally, you know, you can call them average citizens, but they buy into...
But they're not average citizens.
I watch them on TV, they look just like you and me.
If Glenn Beck was average and the people who listened to him, if their reality was the general reality, he'd still be on. He's not. He's not on anymore.
He's got his own website and whatever, but think of all the ones who are still on.
Like who?
I mean the whole Fox channel. If you only got your news from Fox, well, let's face it, it's going to be significantly biased. We'll call it that.
It's not going to be
Much
biased.
If you got all
different.
Your news from MSNBC, it would be the same way, of course, you know.
And you know what? When Glenn Beck goes to look at the data of American history, he looks at the same data I do.
Yeah.
Exactly the same data I do.
Now, I'm willing to bet he interprets Jefferson a whole lot different than you and I do. In fact,
right.
I know that. So.
Well, but the physical facts that we look at are exactly the same.
Uh-huh.
And when his, when his viewpoint is combined with my viewpoint and the guy next to me's viewpoint, and discussions of the materials, we see a whole different thing. And that's what my learning, not even institution.
Okay, but now then we're back to the point I was trying to make.
My place is going to be a whole lot more J.P. Bullfeathers than it is Harvard University.
But you will have to provide, you know, the diversity of thought. You're saying that a common ground or a common opinion will be formed, but I don't think that happens unless the teacher facilitates that, which is...
Hey, everybody out there, 347-945-6713. You can call in. So do you go the cult's way that you got to have a teacher show you the way?
Well, why would
I have
it?
Or do you come my way where we find the way together?
Well, yeah, but remember, you're the adult and they're the children. That relationship is still there.
It's only there in the present system.
Okay. And I mean, you know, let's face it, at early age, you know, let's say up to age 10, 11, 12, you know, they need a lot of guidance, support, all of that. I mean, that's what a teacher is there for. You know, I can't just give the kid a laptop and say, you know, surf the web, you know.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
He can do that at home. Why the hell does he need you?
Well, I guess you're just getting it. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't need me.
No, they need...
Wait a minute here. I didn't need Sister Grace Michelle or Sister Ethel Rita help me find books about the SS in the library.
Yeah, well, I look back and I think of, you know, there were just a handful of teachers who were inspirational, and not inspirational in the way they, in their person, but in the way that they taught you to look for things, to search, to think for yourself, to create. All, you know, there were only a couple who were able to do that. And I don't know exactly why, but they had that talent, you know.
Well,
it didn't work on everybody either, so.
Let's talk about, I got nobody in the chat room. Okay, let's talk about why those people had that influence. Because I had the same experience.
All right.
It was because they presented you with options, and you took what you wanted. They would have done that in a schoolroom, sitting out under a tree, in the bar room. That they transcended school, those people.
Yeah.
School is a factory. They're trying to make a product where everything is the same. That's what they have curriculums for. That's what they have standardized tests for.
Right. Well,
and nobody cared they care about what you want to know about.
Yeah. Well, we had only, you know, we had very limited methods of evaluating the whole thing. Mostly testing, of course. And as we find out, tests are not exactly the best way to do that. But we haven't come up with a better method to evaluate education. I don't think tests are everything, of course. But tests at least give us, let's say, the minimum. You know, we have this part of it done and we're happy with it.
Let's take something simple. Okay. Writing a paragraph. Best way to evaluate a paragraph is see who reads it.
Mm-hmm.
If lots of people read it, it's fine. If it communicates something, it's fine. You know, it was like somebody was talking to me today about imitating things. For whatever reason, one of the things I could do well in school was oratory and debate.
Uh-huh.
And we used to imitate Cicero. It was conscious.
Yeah.
A teacher, well, mandatory, I guess, introduced us to Cicero. That's what you did in third year.
Mm-hmm.
But stress, I don't even know how to explain it. I just know that I wanted to learn it. It's what I wanted to learn because it made a difference in something I liked doing.
Sure.
You know, and I don't know. How did you learn how to draw?
I'm not entirely sure, but I know that it
why did you
it
draw?
It started long before. Long before I had any kind of art class, right? I mean, for somehow, you know, that became important to me, and I enjoyed what I was doing. And it was also a lot different than, let's say, the world I lived in at that time, you know, as a kid of 8, 9, 10 years old.
It
became, you know, that became almost like a refuge or a place to go when you didn't want to be where you were, you know. That was more or less the way I look at it now. And I think in terms of education, when kids focus on a particular subject, you know, whether it be history or English or whatever, you know, that could be part of the motivation, you know. But I think, you know, the teacher has to, and I never want to use the word role model, but I think they have to, you know, present all the opportunities that are out there, all the things you could do. Because I think a lot of kids grow up and they think, I'm stuck here in Buffalo. I'm going to work in a factory like my old man, you know, which is kind of the way we thought, right? But we didn't go that way. And most probably there were some teachers involved who changed that.
But were there schools involved?
Well, the schools themselves were rather, you know, archaic, formal, structured. I don't think the schools themselves contributed anything except that they were there and they were a place for people to do things. And that's probably all the school should be, if that's what your point is. You know, give us the room and the heat and the lighting and the air conditioning and we'll do the rest.
I guess my issue is, how about we'll just do the rest? Forget about all the other stuff.
See, I remember one thing, like the school board in Buffalo, and then the administrative offices being very. They were nothing but authoritarians.
And they still would are.
I mean, they would shut down stuff. You know, I mean, I had pictures that were in art exhibits when we would do art exhibits like once or twice a year, and I had pictures yanked off the walls. You know, and they were, you know, I did like the female nude, I'm sorry, and I didn't have any problem with it, and they were never obscene in any respect, but they just yanked those things right off the wall, took the hooks off everything.
You know, I got to tell you, I think you'll appreciate this. When I was at St. Mary's High School in Annapolis, we were doing a project And one of the assignments was to find three or four Da Vinci paintings that anyone you like, then throw them up on a page and write something about them. And a kid, I don't remember the exact title of it, but it's something in Venus, and she's bare-breasted. And so the Catholic school said, well, no, you can't have that showing on our website with the bare-breasted woman. So I went back to Kim. I says, you know, we can't put that on. We're going to have to do something about this. The kid said, no problem. So he went back to his computer and he put pasties on it.
Oh, Christ. Well, if it were up to me, I would have only picked the nude paintings that are in the Vatican collection. You know.
Well, that is one of them, by the way.
Oh, that's one way, huh?
But he put pasties on her. I said, well, I guess it's okay now.
Yeah.
Well, even
back then, you could only depict nudity with classical subjects. So Venus, being, you know, a classical goddess, she could be as naked as she wanted to be. But you couldn't do, you know, the girl that lived down the street. No, that wouldn't work, you know.
Give me a fair answer.
Sure.
So you go work for the newspaper.
Yeah.
Who taught you most of the stuff you use to work in the newspaper?
Right. Well,
Yourself or school?
Most of that and nearly all of it would be on the job, you know. And some supplementary classes, you know, I took occasionally. But for the most part, when you're working with people in journalism and advertising, you're picking up stuff constantly. And you become a team. At some point, you're all working with a common cause. I mean, that's my vision of the workplace, and that's been my experience for the most part. So.
And I don't think school, the way it's organized, teaches that at all.
Yeah.
We don't even bother with work. School is separated from work.
Yeah. Well, I think too. You know, let's face it. We should distinguish between the vocational skills and the academic skills, and know that we really don't need everybody to have a BA. Unless they want to pay for it by themselves, and they're just doing it for their own, self-betterment. But generally speaking, you know, a guy can go to the community college here and be an auto mechanic and get a job, and that's it, you know, pretty much.
Yeah, but you know what? And I still believe this. An auto mechanic, it's translated Cicero. I'd rather have him working on my car than an auto mechanic that hasn't.
Yeah. Well, you know. And, you know, it's funny, too.
Or even just knows who Cicero is. You know, how different would America be if the whole country, everybody in America was... I'll settle for high school graduate. Because it's not even close, you know.
Yeah.
It's gone the other way in the last 15 years.
Right. Well, let's think of it, too, though. If you're, you know, a beginning student and you're confronted with, you know, Cicero, Shakespeare, Dante.
Oh, by the way, everybody, anybody, well, nobody's out there listening, but it's just you and me, but because we're not on the live stream anymore.
Right.
I just wanted you to know that, but it still will be part of the archive, so just go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the thing, when we're dealing with that, at least in the beginning, it's good to have a teacher because you probably aren't going to understand everything. Certainly that's the case with Shakespeare. You've got to know a lot, you know, to really appreciate it.
I'm listening.
So, what I'm saying is, you know, again, this is the teacher acting as a guide. You know, someone is there to answer the questions.
You know, and this is what I say to you about that. And to all these other pompous asshole, I shouldn't say asshole, pompous Shakespeare teachers.
You know,
the guys that came to the Globe, most of them couldn't read and write.
Right.
And they loved it. And they learned it. And it meant something to them. And, you know, if you went and put on Shakespeare at the Chevy plant, they might enjoy it and learn from it in ways that they never would down at Harvard Theater. But,
yeah, well, I kind of question that, but,
Are you kidding? Think about the stories.
Yeah, the point is, if you really want the depth of Shakespeare, you have to know the corresponding history.
If Shakespeare ever came to Crystal Beach, he would have written plays about Crystal Beach.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. You know.
People would have loved them.
Yeah, I can see that. Look at the vomit that trickled from thine face.
But that's what school's got to become.
What's that?
That's what school's got to become.
And
we all got to share stuff. But I'm going to call it a little quits for tonight, and we'll take
next
Tuesday because I still got to get a couple more resumes out tonight, trying to find a job.
Yeah, I got to get back in the house. I've got guests from Burning Man, which, you know, shut down on Monday. So
you have guests at your house from Burning Man?
I didn't.
Oh, I've wanted for years. I've always wanted. Have you been?
No, I've never been to one.
Oh, I'd love
just about everybody I know has been at least once.
You should have. You should have put your friends on. That's too bad.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, next week. Thanks for calling and everybody listening out there. Tuesdays, and hopefully, you know, I'll be able to find the resources to get the show several times a week. But
because
I got the time now. It's just a question of finding the resources.
Uh-huh.
This is my version of school. So if you got a lot of bad habits, come and listen to Norm at Night. We'll talk to you next week. We'll see you. Thanks,
Manny,
for calling.
You take care. Good luck with those resumes.
All right. Tell your friends I'm jealous.
Oh, okay. I will.
I'd love to hear their Burning Man experiences.
Oh, I've been listening for the last day and a half.
All right. Take
care now. Bye-bye.